become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Welcome to the show. It's time for another ETL Daily, the weekend edition. That's right. It's Friday, December 12th, and I am here to deliver you some news that's happened in the entertainment world, as I have been doing, and giving you my own spin on it. Basically, you know, all my baggage I have with things. And hopefully we'll have a guest a little bit later. Just like the first two shows. I hope you guys dug the first two ETL dailies. It was kind of fun to just hit record and go. And then to have Adam Sexton and then Adam Howard on the show. Let's try to get some more Adams. Anybody know a guy named Adam that would like to be on the show? Because, you know, basically that's who's going to be on the show. Adam. Adam Ant we'll have on the show, maybe. Wouldn't that be cool? Adam Ant.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Adam. Okay, the first story is very geeky. There's been some Star Wars news. They've actually released names to some of the new Star Wars characters. And I will get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about some Star Wars Rebels news, okay? This is on HitFix. I should give credit to stories that I just read off the internet. Hey, I'm not a reporter, or I'm not a beat reporter. I go out and find these stories. I just look online. That's what it's all about. Now, this story is about how Star Wars doubles down on crazy lightsaber design in Star Wars Rebels. And I was like, oh, what's that all about? I got to check that out. Have you come to terms with the new lightsaber design at Star Wars The Force Awakens? Yes, I have. If not, A, go over here to see why you should learn to stop worrying and embrace this space broadsword. And it's the Stephen Colbert story, which is pretty funny. I don't know. Have you guys seen that?
Check out this awesome lightsaber. It's a lightsaber with too many lightsabers on it. It's a menage a sabre. Sadly, I think I have a Wookiee in the audience. Sadly, there are some stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking Nerf herders out there who aren't thrilled with the new Jedi weapon. They say if these things are supposed to protect your hands like sword hilts, it wouldn't work. Because the first time you cross lightsabers and it slid down to the bottom of the blade, your opponent's lightsaber would chop through the little side sabers and take off your hand. Or, as it was stated on Twitter, hilt on lightsaber, stupid and impractical, childhood ruined, everything ruined. Yeah.
Yeah. Ruined.
Well, I say it's a perfect design. Here's how it works. I've done my analysis, okay? People think it's actually three different plasma streams, but it's all one. The long beam right here, okay, it comes out, and the two smaller beams at the bottom, okay, they're still attached to it. They don't start where the little metal hilt ends, okay? They're attached to the other beam inside. The metal hilts are just casings around the little beams to protect your hand. Even if someone slices through the metal, they're going to hit the beam right there. Any Padawan knows that. Now, I know that's...
Damn right. Any Padawan knows that. So, anyway, in this story, it's basically saying how... For years, Star Wars creators have been futzing with the basic design of the lightsaber. They gave Darth Maul a double-bladed lightsaber. They gave Count Dooku a bended hilt. But nothing that boring will do in the post-Jedi world. A world without knights to train Padawans is a world without rules. For what might be the first time in the history of a galaxy far, far away, innovation is the name of the game. Behold, young Ezra of Star Wars Rebels, multifunctional lightsaber, at first discovered by Jedi News. Now, what it is it's a this cool, like, short little lightsaber. And Ezra on the show, he's a tinkerer, much like Anakin was. And it says, an elegant weapon. Lightsaber mode allows Ezra to train as a Jedi would. His saber is light and quick, accenting his speed and size compared to his more powerful enemies. In an uncivilized time, since Ezra is learning, he is not as adept at deflecting laser blasts. To counter this, he added a multifunction where he can disengage a saber and fire stun blasts at an opponent, allowing him an opportunity to escape. So it's a lightsaber, but if he flips it around the other way, it's kind of cool. Like, if you look at it, you hold it one way and it's a lightsaber, but if you hold it a different way, it's a stun blaster, basically. Because, you know, he's a kid. I guess they can't have him blasting, killing stormtroopers yet. The image from the Star Wars Insider shows that this weapon is a space katana and a stun gun. Because what if you need to subdue an enemy but not hack them to pieces? What if you need a handguard while you learn not to slice off your own fingers? Ever think of that? Ancient Order of the Jedi? Now let the theories commence on the lightsaber blade. Extends within the hilt, but stops just short of breaking through Kylo Ren's crossguard. Or if Star Wars will be introducing a lightsaber impenetrable to metal. There are a lot of typos in this story. But notice I mentioned Kylo Ren. You're like, who? Who's Kylo Ren? Okay, I want to get to this story that happened yesterday. Hopefully everybody checked it out. And it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm eating up the Star Wars stuff. Now, JJ and Disney, whoever, Lucasfilm, President Kathy Kennedy has revealed the identities of some of the key players exclusively to Entertainment Weekly, because I guess people bow down to them. I don't know. So it doesn't give the full names, you'll notice, but we know the name of the little droid on the ball, who I think is adorable. I don't care what anyone says. Some people are like, oh, what's this cutesy little thing? Dude, it's different than like Jar Jar. That's what they got wrong with Jar Jar. Jar Jar should have spoke a language we didn't understand. It should have been subtitles, and it would have been much better. Not that cartoon voice. R2 works because it's just sounds. This new droid, BB-8, it's probably beep, boop, 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 boop. It's fine. It won't get on your nerves. Now, also, okay, the guy flying the X-Wing, who is played by Oscar Isaac, his name is Poe Dameron. That's the way I'm going to pronounce it. Immediately, I saw at least 10 different people, Twitter, Facebook, comment sections, say, Poe Dameron, kind of close to Cameron Poe. Actually, it's not. It's reversed, clever person. They're like, oh, it's like Con Air or something? You know, Cameron Poe? No, his name is Poe Dameron, okay? It's not even close, dumb shit. If you posted this joke on Facebook, I have, that's fine. You know, it's free country. But just so you know, 20 million other people did it at the exact same time. Now, let me ask you this. Is that clever? I don't think so. Rey on her speeder. So the girl who everyone said, you know, I read like leaks that Kira was the name of Daisy Ridley's character. Well, it's Rey, unless they're going to trick us and it's Kira Rey. But some people are like, is it Rey Solo? Is it Rey Skywalker? I don't know. Maybe she's not related. Maybe she's a new character that has no relation. That could be possible, but maybe her name is Rey Skywalker. I don't know. Rey Solo. We'll find out. And Kylo Ren ignites his lightsaber. So the Sith dude with the cool lightsaber with the that looks like a broadsword is Kylo Ren, which I think is a badass name. Sounds cool. I like it. Very Star Warsy. And Finn is on the run. So John Boyega, his character's name is Finn. which I immediately thought was cool because I've been watching a lot of Adventure Time with my daughter, and it's a positive. I think it's cool. His name could be Finn Calrissian, which would be sweet, but I don't know. He could be a new character, but I think this is cool. It makes me excited. It's so cool the way they did it, like the top Star Wars trading cards from 1977 or whenever, 1980, I don't know. But I know I've seen them before. It's just really cool. I mean, it's just images from the actual trailer, so there's nothing new. But they gave us names, which is really neat. I love the idea that JJ or Disney or Kathleen Kennedy, just these little tiny details every week or so, maybe every 2 weeks. You know, it comes out in a year, so just think, if they leak little things at a time, it's enough to keep us so excited, or at least me anyway. I can't speak for everyone else. Now, our guest is coming on very soon. You're very familiar with that person. In fact, hopefully we can have two guests. But first, I want to talk about this whole Sony thing. And I will actually talk about it with a guest. I almost think it's kind of like I will set up the stories and then talk about it with the people who show up on the show. Like, have you guys heard about the Sony hacking situation where apparently some people think it's Korea because of the interview film with Seth Rogen and James Franco? I don't know. But anyway, they leaked all sorts of information about how much people made and stuff like that. But I don't care about any of that. The thing that was interesting is this story that's come out that Marvel and Sony were actually trying to make a deal to get Spider-Man into Captain America, the next Captain America. Damn, I blanked on the name. Captain America Civil War. Okay. So, let me read this story that's on the Nerdist.com or Nerdist.com. All week, we've been tracking a major story concerning New York's number one web slinger, Spider-Man. Following a massive cyber attack on Sony Pictures, emails began appearing indicating Marvel and Sony went to the negotiating table earlier this year to work out a plan that would see the character make his debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe via Captain America Civil War. Automatically, I was like, oh, because I got to tell you right now, Spider-Man is my favorite comic book character ever. And yes, I have been disappointed by the Amazing Spider-Man films. While very entertaining, while Andrew Garfield is awesome, I still think their movies are such a mess. They're all over the place. They're playing too much with the Spider-Man mythology. His parents, his dead parents have scenes, even though they're already dead, trying to load things on a computer in midair. It just, it doesn't work. So back to the story. When Sony realized the deal Marvel wanted would include a loss of creative control, the studio walked away from the talks. That was until the hack, which made Sony Japan, the parent company of Sony Pictures, aware of the situation and not very happy. Now, with Sony reportedly being told to get back in it with Disney and Marvel, new details have come to light from Latino Review as to what Marvel plans to do with the property should they get a hold of it. Now, Latino Review is like this paper that apparently leaks a lot of stuff that turns out to be true. I think most of it, as far as I know. It says, here's some of the details if the plans with Marvel go through. Andrew Garfield will be replaced as Peter Parker, and all existing stories will be wiped clean. I don't mind that at all, except Andrew Garfield was fantastic in the role. It'd be a shame to lose him. Marvel will skip an origin story and start their version of Spidey as one that sees Peter already leading a double life. Love that idea. We don't need the origin story. He got bit by a radioactive spider, everybody. The Marvel Cinematic Universe version, or the MCU, would put far less focus on the romance angle of Spider-Man, as the idea has already been played out in 5 other films. An appearance in Civil War is still possible, but as the script is just about finished for the film, the clock is ticking. As of now, Sony still has complete control over the Spider-Man franchise, and everything the studio plans to do with the property, namely spin-off films such as Sinister Six, are still a go. Oh, God. Horrible idea. But given the financial state of both Sony and the franchise, The studio may be running out of leveraging power, especially following the highly disappointing box office gross of Amazing Spider-Man 2. I thought it did well. I honestly didn't know it, or maybe they're just saying that. How do you think Marvel should handle an acquisition of Spider-Man for the MCU? Let us know in the comments below.
I think it's stupid.
Let's see what some of these people. How is a film grossing over $700 million internationally a disappointment at the box office? That's a good question. Usually people say stupid things, but that was a good question. And another person said, greed. When studios project profit, they make decisions based on those projections. Even if the movie makes a decent amount of coin, the asset isn't as valuable to carry the performance lower grossing independent movies and other flops. Whatever. People just talk on the internet. I really think it's a mistake to get rid of Andrew Garfield. But maybe they don't want people to have any... They don't want him to even think of that film. You know what I mean? Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, just like Fox has the rights to the X-Men. That's why X-Men and Spider-Man will never cross over with Marvel films. But because of Sony's kind of really screwing up the Spider-Man franchise, if you go way back, a lot of people blame Sam Raimi for Spider-Man 3 being a debacle, supposedly, even though I thought it was extremely entertaining. People were like, oh, you didn't need Venom in there. Venom got the short shrift. It was the studio that wanted Venom in there. And it's Sam Raimi's gone on record saying it drove him nuts how he basically lost the fight in the third Spider-Man. He wanted it to be the Sandman. And I've even seen pictures, screenshots of all the stuff cut out of the film. I would love to see the full cut of that. But Sony has been interfering with shit for a long time, just like Fox did. Matthew Vaughn walked away from the third X-Men film. He was originally going to direct it. Now, he did eventually come back to the franchise and do X-Men First Class, but that third X-Men film, The Last Stand, directed by Brett Ratner, that was a replacement because Fox was rushing Matthew Vaughn. I don't know how much time he wanted. He wanted more time to make the best film he could. Fox wasn't interested in that. They wanted to rush that shit out. And they didn't even learn their lesson on Wolverine Origins, that piece of shit. Like, they rushed that, too, and they hadn't learned their lessons. Marvel, what I love about them, I mean, I really have enjoyed all the films, especially Captain America, and especially my favorite being Guardians of the Galaxy, which came out on Blu-ray this week, which I'm asking for Christmas, by the way. I hope I get it. But before, like, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man is a really good film. I've watched it many times, but Spider-Man 2 is fantastic. I love that Spider-Man film. It would be so great if Marvel was like, okay, Fox, you're going to let us have Spider-Man? Sam Raimi's hired again. No, but I'm just kidding. That would be cool. They need to make it up to Edgar Wright and give him a Spider-Man franchise. But anyway, basically it would be a joint production between Marvel and Sony. That would be interesting. I'd be curious to how that would work. But I like the idea of them relinquishing control to get Spider-Man back on track. Because even though, what is the guy's name who did Amazing Spider-Man? Mark Webb. I thought he did a decent job the way the film looked. And, I mean, come on. The film looks gorgeous. The first Amazing Spider-Man I thought looked really nice. There was just too much of an identity crisis with... They couldn't separate from the Sam Raimi one. It's too fresh in people's memories. And the Sinister Six idea sounds like a disaster. I don't know what they're going to do. I would if Marvel announced a Sinister Six movie after a couple of Spider-Man movies, no, they wouldn't even do that. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah, I don't get it. Okay, now I want to talk about the films that came out today. I'm not really excited about Exodus, Gods and Kings. It just looks like the kind of film that's going to have a long running time, and I'm not that interested in it. It's just, I love Christian Bale and everything, and even Joel Edgerton is cool, but it doesn't excite me too much. And so, usually if I'm shaky ground on a film, I'll at least look at Rotten Tomatoes, and it has 27% rotten. Yeesh. It seems like most of these Ridley Scott films, except for Robin Hood, I think that sucked no matter what. He'll release a director's cut later that maybe it'll be better. I don't know. But, yeah. Let's see what some of the reviews say. Crowd-wowing CGI spectacle and the inevitable if inconsequential 3D effects make Exodus look like pure product without any defining vision. That's from Mark Jenkins from NPR. Let's see this one. The screenplay, credited to 4 screenwriters, is a mess. The pacing is uneven, the acting is inconsistent, and the experience as a whole is a letdown, said James Berardinelli for Real Views. All right, well, okay. I haven't heard of that guy before. Let's see if somebody we've heard of. I haven't heard of any of these people. Here's a good review. Exodus, Gods and Kings is as uneven as Ridley Scott's career. At times, it seems to be a journey through the director's greatest strengths and weaknesses. The good news is that his strengths eventually went out. Ah, great. Now, top 5, the new Chris Rock movie. Now, that looks like it's 89% fresh, looks funny. It's got a great cast. It's got Rosario Dawson. It's got Tracy Morgan. It's got Whoopi Goldberg, Steven's favorite actress. It's got Kevin Hart, JB Smoove. It's going to be awesome. So, but what I'm really excited about on December 17th is The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. I'm ready for it. You know, basically that movie's review proof because no matter what I read about it, I'm going to go see it anyway. So it doesn't really matter what anyone says. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be in high frame rate. One thing I was talking to Steven about is high frame rate over once The Hobbit's done? Or I guess until Peter Jackson makes a new film, because I haven't seen any other high frame rate movies except for The Hobbit. Nobody else is putting them out. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm sure he'll, for the rest of his life, he'll probably put out high frame rate movies. That brings me to this. I don't know if anybody has seen the trailer to Michael Mann's new film. It's starring Chris Hemsworth. It's called Black Hat. A man is released from prison to help American and Chinese authorities pursue a mysterious cyber criminal. The dangerous search leads them from Chicago to Hong Kong. Oh my goodness. It stars Chris Hemsworth, Viola Davis, and other people. The trailer looked interesting. I'm not sure about a hacker terrorist movie. I don't know. Maybe it'll be cool. Michael Mann is a great director. Here's my problem, why I segued away from high frame rate to Michael Mann. Michael Mann films in HD video. And all of his films have this weird videotape quality. It's hard to explain. If you saw Public Enemies with Johnny Depp, you'll know what I mean. When I saw that in the theater, it was very distracting. And I understand he likes that kind of video quality, but I don't like it. Maybe it is high frame rate. I don't know, but it looks weird and distracting, and that's what I'm afraid Black Hat's going to look like. If you look at the trailer, it does look like that. Now, I think the reason it didn't work on Public Enemy, because it was a historical film in the past about John Dillinger. The movie with Tom Cruise, Collateral, it didn't bother me as much, maybe because it was modern day. So maybe Black Hat won't bother me, but I know there'll be times where I'm like, this looks weird. I know I'll say it. Now, guys, we're going to have our guest soon, and I'm kind of just playing around. The guest is a person you know and love on the show, and that is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian, and he will be here shortly. And Steven, the pop culture zealot, is on his way. So it's going to be all three of us. I just wanted to surprise you guys. It's going to be exciting. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff that's going on. And we want to bring you an awesome ETL Daily Weekend Edition. Let's see if I can find on YouTube an old Entertainment Tonight theme. 80s entertainment tonight theme. Oh, here's 1982. Here we go.
I am.
Hey, you're here on Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, nice. Where's Mary Hart?
I'm Mary Hart, and you just had a seizure.
Hello,
and
everybody.
No, I'm in deposit before they started talking. I was looking for...
Hello, everybody.
Old 1980... I remember, was it 1990? They did one where it was like... Boo, 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 boo. They would like add in disco effects. Maybe it's this one. This is 1985. Let's see. Oh, I think this is.
Yep. The twos tackle stardom on TV.
Is Commando a blast for Radon Chong?
Does David Carradine march?
Oh my God!
How does the A team get recruits?
Entertainment Tonight has a medium rare treat with everything
storylines.
To go for Friday, October 18th, 1985.
Wow. Did you work at it? Our standards are tough, but we know you can do it.
It looks like Tron. Hello. Boo. 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 It's so funny, man. The intro is so Tron-like. They were so influenced by Tron. There's like a grid. I'm expecting light cycles to go by.
Well, it was very similar also to the HBO feature presentation thing.
Yeah,
like, do you
totally.
Remember how it would like the lights would spin around the O?
You're like flying in the trench, like the Death Star or something.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, this is Entertainment Landfill Daily, the weekend edition. Hey, we're doing some new crazy types of shows. Now, before we get into some of the stories that are out there, I want to talk about Michael Mann for a second. And the reason I'm on this is that. I was thinking about how The Hobbit is Battle of the Five Armies is about to come out.
Yes.
It's in high frame rate.
Yes.
I was wondering, once this is done, will there be any more high frame rate movies? Because no one's really put one out since The Hobbits. Hobbit films.
Avatar will be.
Oh, yeah.
Avatar
really?
2, 3, and 4.
Get out of here. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. In fact, James Cameron was discussing whether he would stick to the 48 frame per second that Peter Jackson's been using or go full 60. So,
Shit. So then that's really cool because I expect all of Peter Jackson's films to be high frame rate from now on.
I wish more films, especially action films, would be high frame rate. Like, could you imagine how gorgeous Captain America, the Winter Soldier would have been in high frame rate?
Oh, it would be very interesting.
Yeah, I was watching it. Like, it was so funny. I was flying to L.A. Or, I'm sorry, to I think it was when I was flying to Phoenix. I was sitting next to a guy who had his iPad, and he was watching. First, he watched Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which I kind of watched with him. Even though he had a headset on, I was still watching it because it's just such an entertaining film.
It really is.
I was just... like marveling at how marveling. Oh God.
Nice. You said words there.
Yeah. At how well paced and exciting and just really sharp and beautiful it was for an espionage film.
Yeah.
And I was just like thinking, wow, I wonder how gorgeous that would have been in like native 3D, 48 frames per second. Like there's so many movies out there that should be using it. And
totally.
For some reason, people just aren't into it.
I'm wondering if they could do computer animated films in high frame rate because I think it would look spectacular.
Oh my God! Yeah, that would be incredible.
Like,
I would have loved to have seen the Box Trolls or something like that.
But
not computer animated. That's stop motion.
Yeah, Big Hero 6 in high frame rate. It would have been sweet. Now,
yeah, I think just people have to get used to it. I don't think their brains have caught up yet.
Yeah, The Hobbit, when it comes out and I sit in the theater, you sit in the theater, the first few minutes, it will be disorienting. Everything looks sped up for a minute. It's all like you catch up and you just, and then everything goes normal. But at first, it is like everybody's moving really fast, and then you adjust to it.
Yeah, we talked about it. I remember that whenever I first saw the first Hobbit, I thought, like, is it on fast forward? Did somebody have the two, like, did they do 1.5 speed? What's going on here?
So that brings me to Michael Mann.
Yes.
I've seen the trailer to Black Hat starring Chris Hemsworth.
God, I have no interest in it. It's not appealing to me at all.
Well, here's what it's done in that weird high-def video again.
Oh, yeah, because he likes that.
Remember Public Enemies? Like, I was like, I would have enjoyed the film if it didn't look like this. It's a historical movie, but it looks like it's filmed on videotape. And Michael Mann is in love with that look. And it's, how is it different from high frame rate, though? There's just something weird about it. It looks like video, right?
Yeah, it's not high frame rate. It's just,
it doesn't look like
film. I don't think they've run it through any of that, like, film process.
I wish
it's like straight from the lens to the camera. I don't know.
And I don't think it bothered me as much on Collateral. Maybe because it was modern day. I mean, it does bother me at certain times.
I think that they added grain to Collateral, though.
Yeah, I thought Miami Vice was a really boring movie, but it had that same video look. And can nobody tell Michael Mann to just knock that shit off or what?
Yeah, I really enjoy his films, and I don't know what he's trying to achieve. It's painful to watch. Like, it looks like everything's, like, you go into someone's house and they have True Motion Video on their TV.
Yeah.
And you want to, you immediately turn it off.
You're just like, ugh. Or it's like when I go to my cousins for Thanksgiving and all of their, you know, they have HD TV in the living room, one in the den, and it's all standard def stretched. I'm like, you know, high def is pretty available now. You know, you could even get an antenna or something.
We got the basic cable, son.
Yeah.
All we need is a Fox News.
Well, even like Hulu or Netflix, they could get some HD on that sucker. I don't know.
Yeah, unless they want a massive burn-in on their screen.
The only thing I think is just people don't care. Some people don't care.
No, they don't.
Just put a signal up, I guess.
I don't know. Would you call us videophiles or audiophiles? I mean, we're certainly not what we once were.
We care a lot about it.
But yeah, we care a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the living room is important to me. The bedroom, I think I adjusted it when we first got the TV, and I haven't cared since. It's not really as important. It's an LCD. I don't expect it to be reference quality or anything, you know?
Sure.
But I think that in the living room, it's really important to me. And you use those calibration discs. I've never had it professionally calibrated. But when I got the Xbox One, it had the cool color patterns on there.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, and I finally got the color, like blue and red or whatever it is, exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because you have the color patterns up there.
I do have to say, though, if you ever run into expendable cash to get a ISF...
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
It's night and day. When I had my rear projection done and that Chad B was here all day long from 9, I think he got here at 9 a.m. and he left at 6 p.m.
Oh,
and when he, like, called me in and we put, and this is dating it, we put a D-theater tape in. You remember digital VHS, the JVC D theater? We put Passion of the Christ in, of all the films. And there's a scene where Judas is taking the silver, there's like the flames in the background and all that, and it just pops. It's getting those blacks perfect and that perfect curve on the, you know, the color meter or whatever, it's night and day. It's one of those things that you feel like, oh my God, I'm paying $350 or whatever it is now to have this done. Is it worth it? And then you see it and you go, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah, I would love to someday, but it's almost like now I keep reading about, I mean, I know it's funny because it's Vizio, but I keep reading these good reviews on that huge Vizio 4K.
The 4K?
Yeah, the guy on the ABS forum who does Home Theater Geeks.
He's
like raving about it, and I'm wondering, like, could I possibly own a Vizio? I don't know.
I don't know. I, you know, or Sony.
Yeah. What is that? Isn't there a Samsung that's like a 75 inch that's been getting really?
Yeah, I was looking at it. In fact, I think I sent it to you. It's only 1080p though. There's a 4K that's up there, but that's, I think that's like close to $10,000. Whereas the 1080p one is like $3,000.
That's why the Vizio looks tempting, just because based on price. If you look on Best Buy and the larger televisions, they go up in price, and I'm like, who's going to buy a $20,000 television?
Seriously. Yeah, I'm in the midst of finally getting ready to replace the beast that I've had for 10 years. Like, I have a 60-inch Samsung plasma, just very standard 1080p, you know, in my basement for gaming and watching movies somewhat, but I don't have a sound system down here. My sound system is upstairs, and that's where I have my old rear projection Sony, a 57-inch. It's the 57HW40, and it looks awful. Like, I hate it. I don't even go in there. I can't tell you the last time I watched a movie on it, because every time I sit there, I see that the focus needs fixed, the lenses need clean. Like, I see all the problems. And and it's such a massive pain in the ass. It takes up so much room in the living room that I just want it gone. So I started researching budget televisions, because I can't afford the one I want. What I want is like the since nobody makes plasma anymore, I want that Sony XBR65. I think it's the 900B. It's like one step down from their top of the line, and it's 4K. But it's like a question I posed to you the other day is, with 4K, we now have double the resolution. So we now are able to do passive 3D without a loss in resolution, because that was the big knock against passive 3D on 1080p sets, is that whenever you did it, it dropped it down to 720p or something like that. It wasn't full HD.
Right.
And now that 4K is here, you can do it. And I was looking at reviews of passive 3D, and they're saying it's amazing. But all the TVs it's on are either the low-level Sonys, like the 800 series, or a Toshiba, which has gotten some of the worst reviews for picture quality, but the best reviews for 3D, and an LG that I don't think anybody has reviewed yet. So, like, I'm again in that quagmire of, I desperately want a new television, but the technology hasn't caught up yet, or maybe, I don't know, the one I was looking at, the either the 850 or the 900B, the Sony that has the speakers on the outside of it, I was so pissed about, because it went for $2,200 on Black Friday, and it's back up to $79.99.
Holy shit, are you serious? I got that low?
Yeah, it got to $2,200. It was through Beach Camera, which is a reputable seller, and they posted it on eBay. And it was just, you know, it was open for Black Friday. And I just noticed that on AVS form, and I was like, holy shit, $2,200 for a $4,000 TV? Like, I was kicking myself in the pants, because I was so, like, whatever, pshaw, Black Friday, whatever. And now it's like I choked on my own bravado whenever I saw that. So I'm considering actually just calling somebody and hauling away this rear projection and moving the 60-inch Samsung plasma upstairs, because I can't enjoy films on the rear projection anymore. It's 1080i.
Right. Yeah, it's very old, and it's like, God, it's so old, just get rid of it. Or something.
Yeah, like, I can't even use the features on my AV receiver, because it's HDMI. So, like, I have to set everything to go, the audio goes through HDMI, the video goes through components still. And I'm suffering.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Maybe you should get a cheap Vizio, man. What the hell? Yeah,
I know. I'm not picky anymore. I don't have the money to be picky.
Well, it's like I told Heather, like, you know, when we get a new TV, we'll give this plasma to, like, your parents or something. She goes, the hell we are. We're putting it in our bedroom.
Whoa, I was like, I like her style.
Yeah, she's right. We ought to get a wall mount and stick that sucker in the bedroom.
Absolutely.
Keep it forever until it goes out. You know, what do they say? They last a long time, right?
Yeah, plasmas? Was it like 100,000 or 200,000 hours? I don't know.
I still can't believe plasmas are gone. It makes me sad when I think about
it. It's really depressing. I mean, I understand it. We're losing the blacks, and they're starting to get better with the LED lighting and the way it shifts and all that. Because when you think about it, that's essentially what any projector is. You know, it's so they're kind of they need to just kind of perfect it. Maybe I give it another generation and we won't even realize that. I mean, because then we're going to get into the like the OLED, you know, and as that gets on.
Yeah, will that ever come out?
Yeah, I know. Well, that technology hopefully will become easier to produce. And
what do you think they would have ever done 4K plasmas, or would it have just been too expensive or something?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I don't know the technology well enough to understand the technical aspect of what plasma is capable of.
Oh, Bill, Steven just arrived.
Oh, yeah?
Let me get you this. We have the Christmas trees in the way, so you can't really protect the wire like usual. Baby could knock it off your head.
Going crazy.
Hey, everyone, look, it's PCZ Steven. Hey.
What's happening?
We were just talking TV, Steven. And, Steven, I want to... Bill,
Steven Bill.
Steven got Bill. An Xbox One. Can you
believe
it? Yeah,
I was reading about, or I was listening to that, yeah.
So tell us what games you've been playing, Steven.
Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive. I got to play it one day, and I had a blast. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, Bill, you own it, right?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think the last place I was. I ran some errands for the snobby kids in the arcade.
Yeah, and Sasquatch and Friends is the name of the place.
I was running errands for the LARPers.
Yeah, I'm just getting to... That's exactly who I'm just getting to. I have to visit them.
That's
but,
so funny.
Yeah, I took it out and started playing Destiny because I haven't played Destiny for so long. I had my my last final on Wednesday, the day after I got back from Santa Cruz. So after that was done, I was just like, okay, the final's over. I even messaged Jason. I was like, I'm ready to play some games. Yeah. Like, I haven't been able to watch anything. I haven't been able to play any games. So I've just been kind of, and then I got really, really sick, and it just totally just destroyed me for about 2 days. In fact, I thought today was Thursday all day long until I looked at the top of my computer and it said Friday, December 12th. And I was like, wait, I lost the day somewhere. Like, it's just been awful, awful, awful.
Well, you know, I've been doing these solo shows, and I thought, how cool would it be if we did like a weekend edition where we don't have to prepare anything. We just talk about stuff we've seen during the week and what we've been doing, you know, just, you know, catching up with each other.
I'm all for it.
You know, Destiny, speaking of that, Bill, I've been playing it. I've been playing The Dark Below, the DLC.
Oh, and sounds ominous.
I have been very... I've defended Destiny quite a bit. You know, I've been playing a lot and I was addicted to it. I've taken like 3 or 4 weeks off from it where I just stopped playing. And I was like, because all I was doing is doing strikes over and over again. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait for that DLC, play some more storyline, and it'll get better, right? Here's the thing that's interesting about it. They've replaced all of the armor with new, better armor from the Vanguard vendors. So basically all the armor I had before that I was playing strikes over and over again. And, you know, as you do more missions, you unlock better defense on your armor or new things on it. Same with your weapons. You basically level up your weapons and armor. It made it all obsolete. because the new armor's better. So there's no point in even keeping your old armor. So if you think about it for a second, it is like, wow, that was a waste of time. All that time I spent leveling this up. Oh, well. And I get the new armor. And I started playing the new storylines, Bill.
Yeah?
You know the missions in Destiny, they take a while, right? Each mission.
They do.
Well, I finished the three new story missions in like an hour. And I was,
wow.
I was like, okay, where's the story? Okay. And it was like, I have these bounties for you or whatever the chick does. So I started doing these bounties, trying to figure out what to do. So you have to go different places on the same maps you've been playing on Earth.
Oh, frick that noise.
It's the same places you've been a million times, and you find these guys and you kill them or do whatever. Then you get to unlock a strike, a new strike. By the way, I've been doing the same three strikes over and over again for like a month. So
three,
I was like,
strikes, you're out.
Yeah. So I'm like, yay, a new strike. And I started playing it, and it's much shorter than the other strikes I've played. And it was fun, but when it was over, I'm like, oh, that's it, huh? Okay. And really, it's just about doing it over and over again until you level up your new armor and weapons.
But is this episodic? Is it like, you know, like the Walking Dead game or something?
I don't know.
Are they...
I expected there to be as much story as there was in the main game that we've already played.
Absolutely.
I didn't expect to be done in an hour.
Or at least like, you know, the DLC for like Borderlands, the first one that we played through.
I expected to be playing it for a week at least, maybe 2 weeks. I expected more, so it's kind of annoying. I mean, here's the problem with the game is that I'm addicted to it. I love leveling up my armor. I was level 28 for like 2 months, Bill. I hit level 29 today, finally. I was like, yes, I'm level 29. I've been level 28 for so long because I couldn't level up anymore. But with the new armor, I hit level 29, and I'm just like, well, I got to keep playing until I hit 30, right? And it's just like, that's how they get you. It's like this weird kind of leveling up kind of Pavlov's dog kind of thing.
That's crazy.
You keep being rewarded. And I've seen people attack this game since the launch, and I was very defensive, like, no, it's a lot of fun. It is fun to play, but I need more story than that. Somebody said it's like playing a slot machine, and I guess it kind of is, but it is fun running around shooting things, throwing sticky grenades at their heads and stuff like that, improving your weapons. And I got this new rocket launcher, and I've had many rocket launchers in the game, but this one has a homing feature, Bill, where if I aim it at something far away, it goes beep, 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 and I shoot it. If they go around the corner, the missile falls at them, and I'm like, dude, that is awesome!
That is awesome.
That's why I keep playing. It is so sweet, man.
It's a little surprising because, like I was saying, the Borderlands DLC is maybe like three hours, mm-hmm. but at least it's you after you play it, you feel like you're entertained. Right. It doesn't feel like a slog. It's kind of an expansion to the story. Whereas this, they just kind of throw it out there and expect you to grind.
Well, a lot of people said that there was a whole game originally, and they took it apart into pieces to offer as DLCs, and I was like, no, they wouldn't do that. But as I was playing, I was like, those bastards, they did do that. This game was finished. This could have been like Halo 3, where it's a big storyline, and you could have played that. But instead, I feel like they took a bunch of stuff out, and a lot of people were saying that, and I was like, no, they didn't. But now I'm like, I think they did.
Oh, God.
I think they did. Now,
that's really shitty business practices.
I wouldn't tell you to stop playing, though, because it is fun, and I would love to do strikes with you and stuff. That's part of the fun.
Yeah, but I really want to get my guy leveled up. I the last mission I played was the World Grave on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And it was so much fun.
It is.
And it was like, I hadn't had that because it wasn't too overwhelming. I think it's like a level 7 mission, and I think I'm level 9, so I could hold my own, even though there were a couple times where I was really close to death. But It was a blast. Like I was having genuine fun. Like I have this hand cannon, which nice. I really love. I love the hand. Granted, you only have 6 shots, but mm-hmm. I put an upgrade on it where I have a steady aim, so I can just bring it up, beat them on the head, and like blast one of those acolytes, and they're just gone in one shot. And
yeah.
It's just I felt like super powerful but not too powerful, and it just gave me enough to want to keep playing, and then I got sick and stopped playing.
Yeah, you get that bounty where you have to get 100 headshots and do it with the hand cannon. All of a sudden you get so awesome at headshots. You're like, dude, one-shotting dudes in the head with a pistol, and you feel like a badass.
Yeah, I love, you know what? I've always loved the pistol in games. Probably Star Wars Galaxies, whenever we both went pistolier.
Yeah.
And then I got into rifles and carbines and all that because we needed to hunt crate. But I have a thing for pistols in first person shooters.
That's another thing they did in the new update, is that the new exotic weapons are better than the old exotic weapons. That's the yellow ones. And I have this yellow rifle, automatic rifle called the Suros Regime that I'm leveling up. Well, now I could trade it in and get a new one from Xur, and the damage is much higher, but it'll erase all of the progress I've done with a gun. And I nearly had that thing maxed out for 300 damage. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And when I went to do it, it said I needed an exotic shard. How do you get an exotic shard? Well, you have to use all these strange coins, or you could destroy an exotic weapon and get an exotic shard from it. So I was like, okay, I had like an exotic rocket launcher, and I was like, I'm going to destroy it. And I like held it down to destroy, and I was like, no! And like, finally I got the shard, and then I got my machine gun over again, but now it starts at 307 damage. And I was like, well, that's pretty sweet. So at least that much, it has higher damage. But man, it was a pain getting rid of all that progress.
That's amazing that they kind of nerf it, but not completely. It's
right.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but okay.
Start over. Well, guys, I want to talk to you about something else. The Mad Max Fury Road trailer that just came out this week. Have you guys watched it?
Yes, sir.
Wow, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but this is how I felt when I saw it.
Joy Gather!
That's exactly how I felt. And it was funny. I go, Heather, I need you to watch this trailer. And she goes, okay, what is it? And I go, I'm not going to tell you. Just watch it. And so, you know, it gets to the end and she goes, what's your name? And then it goes, Mad Max, Fury Road. I feigned like passing out. I go like, ugh, and fell over in the chair. And she thought it was so funny. I go, I'm serious. That's the way I feel. I'm passing out. That is like the most awesome trailer ever.
Yeah. Come on. The music, I can't remember what classical piece they used for it, but it fits so perfectly with the madness of it all. And it seems like they actually tweaked the visuals even more since the Comic-Con trailer. Like, it just looks so much more vivid and, like,
it looks awesome!
Yeah, it's like George Miller's been waiting, you know, 30 years just to make this film.
And thank God he doesn't have George Ogilvy helping him. And
oh, God.
You guys don't know who that is. That's the co-director of Beyond Thunderdome. Nobody knows what happened to that guy.
No, nobody.
But, oh, my God. This is the film where I was waiting to see after The Road Warrior, but instead I got Beyond Thunderdome. And then I had to sit through Lorenzo's Oil and...
they literally played something tragic with that one.
Ton. And then I had to watch The Witches of Eastwick and then Babe... Oh. Babe Pig in the City.
Babe Pig in the City is one of my all-time favorite films.
I'm not saying anything against the film, but George Miller went through a kid movie phase. And,
oh, God, yeah.
And finally he's back. Woohoo!
He is back. And that scene with the Nicholas Holt character going, it's a lovely day.
it's going to be a lovely day.
Yes. I was like, that's pure Mad Max. That is just, that's it.
It looks like pure insanity.
Yeah, it's, oh my God.
And how cool
I'm
is
so
this?
Excited
the,
back...
the thing, the guy swinging back and forth on that pole.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the guy, the scary looking guy with a mask or whatever, do you realize who that is playing that role?
That's the guy from the first film, right?
That's the Knight Rider, fuel-injected suicide machine. It's that actor, Hugh Keyes Byrne, and he's playing, I don't know if he's the bad guy or just a bad guy or what, but it's cool that he's in it.
It's yeah, kinda... I have a feeling he's kind of the Wes of this one.
Right. It's kind of like, remember how the Gyro Captain in the Road Warrior was then a different character, the same actor in Beyond Thunderdome? It's kind of like, why not? You know, he's wearing a mask, and no one has seen Mad Max, anybody who's going to go see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anywhere, but I just wanted to say, awesome. I was totally like, you know, joygasm, as I said. I was just like, yeah. Oh my God, I gotta see this now. And it actually took my mind off of Star Wars for a bit.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty incredible.
And then J.J. Abrams was like, shit, it was Mad Max stuff. Put out some trading cards with the characters' names.
Yeah, put out the old top-style trading cards.
We've lost Jason and Bill's attention. We got to put these out. And what do you think about that, the new Star Wars? I know there's not much to go on, but I do like the name Kylo Ren.
Yeah, you know, I was just reading one of those snarky blogs where they were like, does anybody really think that's a fitting villain name?
Oh my
and,
also, God.
And I just wanted, you know, immediately I just hit the X, close the window, screw, you know, I'm not, people love, I don't know what it is. There's something about J.J. Abrams that they love picking apart.
Well, John Boyega's character Finn, what is this, Adventure Time? It's like, no, the name Finn existed
before. Is he Black Irish?
They won't have names like that in Star Wars. And I saw someone go, oh, yeah, they don't have names like Ben in Star Wars. And yeah. I was like, oh, owned, man. That's true. Now, I want to say this. Poe Dameron is a kick-ass name.
That's a great name. It kind of reminds me of like an extended universe name, like Tycho Kelchu and, you know, stuff like that, like Face Loran.
Cornhorn is one of my favorite names, too.
Cornhorn, yeah.
But Poe Dameron, people are like, oh, wait, that's a little too close to Cameron Poe from...
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's such a stretch.
It's not Cameron Poe, it's Poe Dameron. And one thing is I've seen people do it, like if you look at any website, Entertainment Weekly, Ain't It Cool News, or whatever, Facebook, someone mentions that everywhere. And I wanted to just say, it's not clever if 20 million people are making the same joke, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, people, when the movie comes out, people will buy the Poe Dameron action figure and they'll forget all about that.
It's the same people that make the joke about Cyber Sex Monday.
I don't like how that shit works.
Oh, yeah, you made a joke about that and you showed a link to an article where they showed all the tweets were like, hey, more like Cyber Sex Monday. And
yeah,
it was
they
like,
all think they're just hilarious.
More like Cyber Sex Monday, more like Cyber Sex. And just like all these millions of people are just like, it's not funny.
No.
It's like, you're not amusing anyone.
You read somebody else, but
I'm amusing myself.
he's that one. Those people are the people that you knew in high school or even know in life that they're smug. And they're self-serving, and they're they think they're hilarious.
I'm patting my back.
Yeah, and it's like they deliver a line, and they think that it should be the greatest joke ever, that everyone should laugh at it. And it just – it's so painful. It's – I don't get people. I don't get them.
Now, it's interesting the Daisy Ridley's character's name is Rey. Because I've read everywhere that her name has been leaked. It's Kira, Bill.
Oh, so Rey is her, nickname?
I don't know, but maybe it's not Kira now. It's just Ray.
It's Kira Ray.
I like how they didn't give them last names. You know, it's not. So no. People are like, is it Ray Solo? Is it Ray Skywalker?
Is it Ray Dong Chong?
Yeah, it's Ray Dong Chong. Hey, coming full circle. And first of all, Kylo Ren ignites his lightsaber. When I saw that, I was like, dude, that's awesome. That's his name. And I was thinking about this. Okay, here's our Ezra theory again, Bill. Kylo Ren, obviously, he made this. Well, all Jedi or Sith make their own lightsabers, right?
Yeah. Right.
This one's kind of weird lava-type electricity thing. Well, then they show on a website that Ezra on Star Wars Rebels, he's made his own lightsaber that's also a gun. So I'm like, it's the same guy, I'm telling you. But Kylo Ren, does Ezra change his name to that, or is my theory just wrong?
No, I think I like where you're going with it. I'm not going to say that it might not be right, because it's ingenious, honestly.
It's just kind of thing where he kind of looked, and you know what's funny? I was like, nobody else has come up with this. And I looked online, I said, Ezra is, or Adam Driver is Ezra, and I found like a website where some guy's theory. Here's my theory on this. His is much more ridiculous and intricate, where he's like, Adam Driver is Count Dooku's nephew. And I'm like, what? I was you lost me, dude. I don't know why you had to go to Count Dooku.
Poor Uncle Dookie.
Yeah, Uncle Dookie got his head chopped off, and his hands chopped off, too.
Yeah.
But Finn is John Boyega, so that's cool. The coolest thing
is Finn Solo. He's the black adopted child Han Solo and
Or
and
actually,
Leia.
Lando's the dad, and Han Solo's just an idiot. He doesn't realize it's not his son.
Yep. Oh, my God, that would be brilliant.
It's
like the entire,
like,
the entire, like,
it's like
trilogy.
Jim Carrey and Me, Myself.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I don't know why he turned out that way, but I love him just as if he was any color.
Me, Myself, and Leia.
And BB-8 is the name of the cute little ball droid.
Aww.
And I was talking about how, you know, a lot of people, what is this cutesy stuff? The reason Jar Jar didn't work is that he actually spoke English. I still think if he would have just spoken in another language that we didn't understand, like Chewbacca, and just made sounds, and then the other characters knew what he was saying, we didn't have to. But instead, he talked like this.
Instead, he was step and fetch it.
So a droid just went, boop, 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 boop. It's not going to bother us. We're going to think it's cute and awesome, just like R2. It's going to work,
like,
man.
He's like the perfect little, like, and I assume he's little. Like, he reminds me of kind of like an updated mouse droid without wheels.
I'm betting, I don't know why, I just thought, oh, I bet he transforms, like he morphs into other shape or something.
Ooh, yeah, like the, it's kind of like in Metroid, whenever Samus rolls into the ball to move faster or move through things or...
I bet because, like, when he's rolling, you see these different circles on him. I bet, like, little arms and stuff can come out of there and, like, or something like that. I don't know.
Hit the nose.
Yeah, hopefully you won't see that. Hit the nose. I love it.
Hey, hit the nose.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty cool. If they just release every month just one other Star Wars thing, we will just be giddy about it for like a week, you know?
Yeah, just give me a little taste. A little taste of something, you know,
give me
aperitif.
Please give me something.
A battle between them and Mad Max.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what? If you know...
It's going to be every
I don't know how long Mad Max
one.
Is, and I know that we have yet to see all the footage. We're really only seeing one part of this chase.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't even wrap my mind around what else there could possibly be. Like, I you know how so many trailers throw the best stuff in them?
Right.
But I know that... That's not what this is. This is just them going, okay, well, let's do this, let's do that. And it just – one thing I noticed that I didn't in the last one was, and maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but in the scene where the guy throws himself off the back of the one car with like the dual spears, it looks like he, when he lands on whatever he's going after, he's basically kamikazeing it.
Yeah, he explodes.
Yeah, I was, and that kind of like blew my mind, like the whole "the world's gone mad" kind of a thing.
Oh, I love it.
I get tingles when
I
think about it.
Described, I don't remember where, maybe Drew McWeeny or something, but maybe George Miller said it's basically a chase film, where it sounds like the whole film is a chase, which sounds awesome.
And I'm going to be exhausted after that.
Like Apocalypto, essentially, which was a chase film.
Which I really should watch again, because that was such a great film.
It's like, just the idea of that, because really, I also read, and I don't remember if it was Drew McWeeny or George Miller or whoever, it was when the first trailer came out, is there's not a lot of dialogue in the film, that George Miller had actually storyboarded the whole film before there was a script, and it just sounds so cool.
Wow.
Oh, man. I can't wait. Now, I want to talk to you guys about the Sony hacking, but the cool news that came out of it, which was... Marvel was... Isn't it funny that nobody knew about this because it's all high-level executives, but Marvel was trying to make a deal with Sony to get Spider-Man, to share Spider-Man, essentially. Basically, they want Spider-Man to be in the next Captain America film, Civil War, because apparently... I've never read the Civil War comics, but Spider-Man figured prominently in the storyline.
Yeah, it's kind of... Civil War hinges on a whole... Registration Act, very similar to the first X-Men, where superheroes are getting out of control and people, you know, the government wants superheroes to be responsible for whatever damage they cause or deaths, or so they want to them to register, but they can't register as a superhero. They have to register as their true identity.
Oh, and they have to give up their identity.
Yeah, and on one side you have Tony Stark saying, yeah, okay, I can totally get behind this because he is who he is. He's, you know, he has
Everyone
nothing to hide. And then you have Captain America who's like, well, you know, that's not what it's about. People are losing the whole point of it. This is all about... protecting not only people but ourselves, and you know, it gets kind of deep into internal politics.
It sounds
and,
like I'm totally on Captain America's side already.
yeah, exactly. And so
well, Tony Stark's a multimillionaire, so paying for stuff that he breaks.
Yeah, and he's already
himself.
Doing it.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of what this next Avengers is, because I know that Ultron is his creation in a way. It just flat out is, and it's just an AI gone mad. So he kind of has to own up to it, and I think that's what leads into the whole Civil War plot line. But Spider-Man sides with Iron Man at first and reveals himself. And later on in the Civil War, Spider-Man realizes how terrible that is, because it just opens up just so many avenues for people to get killed, and you know, he spends so much of his time protecting his loves and his Aunt May and all that, and I think it finally he's like, oh, I am an asshole. You're right, Captain America.
You endanger everybody.
Yeah.
When you like, because if they can't go over to Spider-Man, we're gonna kill Aunt May or something.
Oh,
like that.
No. Yeah. So it's a really interesting storyline, but I had a hard time following it because there were so many variations on it.
Right.
Like, it went across the entire Marvel comic universe. And
holy
I'm not
shit.
That much of a geek to, you know, every Wednesday get the comic book or
right.
even, you know, and then it goes on for so long that I lose interest and I don't really care to go after the trade paperbacks. So, yeah, ideally, you need Spider-Man. Spider-Man is one of the linchpins of the Civil War plotline.
Oh, it's awesome. It's an awesome idea, and it sounded like Sony was willing to do it. Kind of, what did it say? Split the cost 60-40 on the... Not on Captain America, but like if they made a Spider-Man film, I guess?
Yeah. And but they wanted to retain creative marketing and distribution.
Which made no sense because their whole creative part is what's messed up the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
And it should be where Marvel handles it. And, hey, we'll put in our money and you guys just make a great film and we'll reap the rewards kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know why Sony felt so defensive about that, because they really kind of have, they really have screwed it up. I mean, how many reboots can they do? How many times can they do the story over and over again?
I know, and this the whole Sinister Six spinoff, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's so lame.
I just, but now news has come out that since it all went public and everyone knows about it, that the Sony Japan was like, hey, I like this idea of Marvel, you know, sharing Spider-Man with us and letting them handle everything. And then what was it in this article? It basically said if Marvel did that, it wouldn't be Andrew Garfield. It'd be a new Spider-Man.
Yeah. And they all, it would be there. He would be replaced as Peter Parker and all existing stories will be wiped clean.
Which I don't mind that with his parents and everything. So I can see, like, they probably like Andrew Garfield, but we don't want to remind people of those movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're such a bad experience.
I do like the idea of Spider-Man showing up. Okay, everyone knows Spider-Man's story. Everyone knows he's bit by a radioactive spider, works at Daily Bugle, has an Aunt May. So if he just showed up in Captain America, nobody would go, who's this guy? Everybody knows who he is.
Right.
They don't need an origin or anything.
No.
And I think it would be, I mean, dude, my geek blood starts pumping, or I'm like, oh, dude, that would be so cool.
Well, Marvel is so shrewd when it comes to their film properties. I mean, they will not make a shitty movie. They have yet to make one. They have the right team in place with Joss Whedon heading it up. They have the right plan. And I don't understand why Sony wouldn't see that and go, you know what? Make us some money.
Right.
You know, make us more money, because they would make more money. I don't care what the split is. They would make more money giving it over to Marvel than they ever could have on their own.
I would even be like this. Okay, let's make an agreement. You guys take fix Spider-Man, make three movies, give it back to us for the fourth movie. And you write the ship and then we'll take over.
Yeah.
I don't know if Marvel would do that, but I'd be like, okay. We'll make our trilogy, and then you get Spider-Man back, and you don't have to start over with a new origin or whatever. And, of course, say all this happens, like, tomorrow, Marvel announces Spider-Man will be in the next Captain America. Andrew Garfield won't play him. Everyone's going to be like, who's going to play the new Spider-Man?
Oh, it's going to be Jared Leto. He's going to play.
He's the Joker.
And Spider-Man.
Do you think they will go young or maybe 20s?
I hope they go. You know what? I would love to see them go snarky late 20s.
I would think if he's going to side with Iron Man, he's going to be young and kind of naive.
Right.
That's possible.
Think? Well, it depends on if they make it where they might establish it as Spider-Man's been around for a long time in the movies.
Yeah. Maybe he's world weary. Maybe he's like so tired of hiding.
Maybe
that's why
I'm so good idea too.
I'm so excited about the Daredevil series, because Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones are all going to exist in that universe as Marvel. I'm curious to how they do that, but I love thinking that there's a world. Basically, when we're watching the films, it's a world where all these superheroes exist. You know, Daredevil's in Hell's Kitchen. Spider-Man's in New York. Guardians of the Galaxy are in space in another galaxy. It's just kind of cool when your imagination goes wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It really is. They're setting up so much that could be great.
And then I haven't talked to you guys about Doctor Strange. Benedict Cumberbatch playing Doctor Strange.
Yeah, how about that? And I'm not really familiar with Doctor Strange at all. But I'm interested.
I saw there's an animated Doctor Strange movie on Netflix. And I'm like, I got to watch that. I'll at least get the origin out of it, you know.
Yeah, and I've seen a little bit of that film.
I watched like the first 5 minutes before I had to go pick up Emma from school, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back to this, because the animation looked decent, where I'm like, okay, it's not like pure crap, because you never know if the animation is going to suck, but the animation was very nice looking, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's funny how DC's bread and butter used to be their animation division, you know, because it was headed up by Bruce Timm and those guys that really kind of know how to make a great film in that animation realm. And then I don't know what happened, but I was not a fan of the Dark Knight films that they did. They just kind of fell flat for me. And they're kind of all over the place now. They're not pumping them out the way they were, like the great, like Mask of the Phantasm. Return of the Joker. The Batman Beyond Return of the Joker is one of the best comic book films ever. Like, it's excellent. And now it's just, I don't know what's going on with DC.
That's another thing is, you just reminded me, Sony had a Spider-Man animated film in the works. And I was like, that sounds interesting, but you never know who's going to handle it or whatever. But I honestly, I got back on the Sony Marvel thing, but if I wouldn't just want Spider-Man to appear in Captain America, I totally want Marvel to do a set of films, you know?
Well, yeah, I think that's what they're saying is they want to do a set of films. They're not going to do any origin stories. They want to put the focus more on Spider-Man as opposed to the romance, and they want him in Civil War. Like, they just want to actually treat Spider-Man with the respect that he deserves.
Right. And, I mean, I still retain the Spider-Man 2 Sam Raimi with Doc Ock, awesome film.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. I don't care what version you watch. The batshit insane 2.1, which I wouldn't even really consider. It's one of those things you can sit down and watch and giggle at because it's all these ideas that Sam Raimi had that didn't fit the narrative, but are just fun to see, like Jonah Jameson actually wearing the Spider-Man outfit whenever they find it and they take it to him.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, all those little things. And but Spider-Man 2, God, every time it's on, I have to sit down and watch it. Alfred Molina is so good, and that's handled with so much, like, it's got that deft touch of, like, romance and caring. And
you know, a lot of people knock Spider-Man 3, but I was thinking that, go back to that, Sam Raimi was not happy with Sony's meddling even then.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you gotta have Venom in this film. Well, there's not really room for Venom. It's more of like Sandman and Spider-Man kind of thing. No. You need to have Venom in this film. So he had to work Venom in there, and I don't think he was ever happy about that.
You know, you could tell he wasn't. Neither was Baby. A lot of people were.
Yeah, Baby is like, burr. And I remember when we watched, we also have James Franco as the Green Goblin, which I kind of forgot. They never got the Green Goblin right in those films, by the way.
No, never.
When I will watch the original Spider-Man when it's on, but I'm like, God, that Green Goblin suit is horrible. That exo suit or whatever. And that's what's funny about Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's kind of like they try to make Dane DeHaan's face kind of, but
goblin-y.
He wasn't green, and it's just like, why don't you guys just get some balls and make him look like the comic book? We will accept
the Hulk. The Hulk greens up and gets huge.
We will accept it if he looks like the Green Goblin.
No, they're stuck in believing they're so afraid to just be crazy and let it be a comic book universe. It's like they want to ground it in reality, and that's the biggest problem.
It's not Chris Nolan, okay?
Yeah, and it just comes across very Smallville-y, like throwing that Philip Phillips song in there. And then, you know, I was like, what the F are you doing? Like, this is supposed to be his Rocky moment, his burning heart, figure everything out. And you're going to throw a freaking light FM pop song in my face?
The scene
loses all the weight to it.
And they have the cast I had no problem with. I still have a problem with no J. Jonah Jameson, which is ridiculous. But, I guess we talked about Spider-Man, but the movie's a mess.
Yeah.
You know? And there is a lot of potential. They have Spider-Man swinging on webs through the city down. It looks great. But you got to have something else going on there.
Yeah.
You mean there was...
It's more than that.
The Electro stuff was weird. It didn't really fit in the movie. The Green Goblin stuff felt crammed in.
Yeah, and you, it's just a waste of decent talent. I mean, granted, Jamie Foxx, the Electro stuff was just so... It was so bad. It was just so bad.
The tacked on Rhino.
His Rhino robot at the end. It was like, where did this come from? And also the fact that they made Oscorp the birth, you know, origins of every villain in Spider-Man's. Yeah. Just like, no. What are you doing? No. You know. Just if you think about it enough, it starts to drive you crazy.
I would have rather had in fact, I'm going to make a fan edit of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it's just going to be a 5-minute film about him and Rhino, because those were the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, the opening and the ending. Everything in between can completely go away.
And Andrew Garfield, he had the quips and stuff down. That all worked.
He's got the attitude. He's got the swagger.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand why Marvel would be like, you know, we just don't want people to remember those movies. I honestly think it wouldn't bother me at all if, like, Andrew Garfield will play Spider-Man in the next Captain America. I'd be like, dude, that's awesome. And they never acknowledge those films.
Right.
It's just him playing Spider-Man. I would not have a problem with it at all. Would you?
Yeah. No, not at all.
It'd be cool. I mean, we wouldn't see Sally Field as Aunt May.
You know what would be great is, I mean, even if you leave all the films behind, you know, in his own way, Peter Parker's very much like Tony Stark. So, you know, in that, like, kind of the nerdy, creative kind of...
Oh, yeah. That's like, it seems like
the way they've
depicted
him in the films, at least.
A lot of Marvel characters, they're all really intelligent people. They're all really smart.
Yeah.
When it comes down, Spider-Man was a tinkerer. You know, he invented his web shooters and stuff. And I always loved that about him. When I read the comic as a little kid, I was just like, Spider-Man, he sure is smart. You know, it's just like something that you get that he's not just he's a book nerd who got superpowers. And that was what was so cool about him. And I remember he would get beat up by bullies and he goes, I can't fight back. They'll suspect something, you know, see, we get his ass wailed on every day, even though he knew I could totally kick their asses.
Wipe the floor with
kind of like in Man of Steel. Remember when Clark gets beat up?
Sure. Like, yeah.
I wish I could hit him back. Well, what would that kid? You'd kill the kid.
Yeah.
That should be enough, you know, knowing you could kill the guy in one punch. So stuff like that, you know, but that I'm totally geeking out over Star Wars. We got Mad Max. We got Marvel and oh my God, geek brain exploding. And I was thinking this, if you would have told me when I was like 12, when I was totally into comics, Jason, one day you're going to be watching a Flash TV show. There's going to be a Green Arrow show. There's going to be kind of a Batman show. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's going to be John
Constantine. I know my dad loves Gotham.
Heather and my dad
asks me something about Gotham. Like, is that canon? Did that really happen in the comic books? He's in love with the whole idea of Gotham, and I think it tickles his Law and Order funny bone. I think, like, kind of like,
I watch every episode of that. Heather and I have watched every episode and we're entertained by it, but I'm always just like, why can't Batman just be on the damn show?
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy. Because the guy they have playing Gordon, Commissioner, oh, he's not Commissioner Gordon. He's just Jim
Detective Gordon.
Detective Jim Gordon.
Lieutenant.
Sometimes he kind of has that, tell me where he is. And I'm like, whoa, he's channeling Christian Bale Batman there. He's basically the Batman role, but he's a cop.
I'm the goddamn Batman.
I'm the goddamn Batman.
That's where Batman got his voice from, was Jim Gordon.
And the show consistently looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gotham, it's just... And did you guys...
I'm down two episodes, so I'm...
Did you hear about Krypton? Now, Sci-Fi wants to do a Krypton prequel before Superman's born, Jor-El show, basically.
Just stop. DC really, I mean, come on, guys. Well, just let's just do the movies. Let's not get too carried away. You're not Marvel.
Well, that's what I like about they're successful in TV. They're doing a great Flash show. They're doing Green Arrow. They're going to do Supergirl next year.
Oh, who's going to be Supergirl?
I don't know, but I hope she's super hot. But
oh my God, yeah.
I know why they don't, but couldn't we live with a Batman show? Like, oh, no, that's our movie franchise. No, there could be a Batman over here and also in the movies. It wouldn't confuse us. We could separate the two. It's kind of like on Smallville. They never wanted to put on the suit or whatever. Are they afraid we would, like, get confused as an audience? We wouldn't.
I want them. You know what they need to do? They need to do a what was it? It was a different reality. Supergirl was Power Girl, and I remember seeing the Power Girl Alex Ross illustration.
Oh yeah,
where it was like that outfit with her boobs, and was just like, that's all I needed to see.
Like,
I was like, oh, my
Power
God.
Power Girl.
Power Girl. Yes, please, Power Girl.
I'm digging the Flash and Arrow, the way that they exist. And then they have that crossover stuff. I was totally geeking out over that. I love it. They need to make more superhero shows. Not Krypton. You need to make a superhero show.
Superhero,
yeah, it's like, okay, so you're going to build Kryptonian sets and have Jor-El, and we all know what happens on the series finale. They're going to launch him, Kal-El, into space. We know what happens. That's the same problem I have with Gotham, knowing that, like, okay, when's Batman going to happen?
When's he going to start training to be Batman?
What they need to do in season 2 of Gotham, you know, 20 years later or something. Batman now is around. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, cut to 10 years later or whatever, and he's he's a teen training or whatever.
There was something about it that I can't remember that they can't do Batman because of ownership, because of rights or something. They can't, like, do that story.
What's so, the, oh, the
they
origin?
Can have him start off to be a vigilante.
Is
like
it the Joker or something?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
Have you read the fan theories that some people think that because the guy who plays the Penguin is great, they're like, I bet he's the Joker and he's pretending to be the Penguin. I'm like, what?
Wait, that's going.
They
really
want him
far.
To be the Joker so bad. But,
well, maybe they should just write some really creepy slash fiction.
Yeah, and, some fan fiction.
Like they could do like a whole Fight Club thing scenario where the Joker is Tyler Durden and Chester Copperpot
like,
is
manifestation of his imagination. I really like the guy they have playing the pre-Riddler, Edward Nygma.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. So there's some stuff on the show that's good. I just, you know, at the same time, I'm like, this is a neat idea, but why isn't there a Batman show? I just can't get over it. It's just like, Jason, just snap out of it. Just like make a Spider-Man TV show. I don't care. I want all there, you know. I'm just glad Aquaman never happened. But it's a pretty cool time
you
if you're a geek into comics and all that stuff.
Aquaman
right?
fights for Greenpeace.
Have we done a... Well, let's see. Have we seen any films since we did a show last? The last show we did, we talked about Interstellar. But have you guys seen anything else lately?
No.
No.
I guess the next thing I'm waiting for is The Hobbit. I know that Chris Rock movie's coming out, and everybody's talking about how great it is, but I probably won't go to the theater to see that.
Steven saw The Fury. How was that? Or Fury?
Fury. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, I have that to watch.
Is it? You know the guy who directed that is set to direct the Suicide Squad for DC. It's like, what? But
all I know is I read that Exodus Gods and Kings is quite possibly one of the worst interpretations of Exodus ever put to film. It's gorgeous.
I was reading Rotten Tomatoes, and I started to wonder, maybe a director's cut on Blu-ray? Kind of like
I asked that same question on Facebook. It's like they're saying that the movie is awful, but what, you know, maybe the studio didn't want to, I don't know. Maybe it'll be good, like the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven. But
right.
From what I understand, they just kind of bastardized the story to try to make it interesting. But in trying to make it interesting, they've kind of cut the heart and soul out of it. So there's no relating to it. It's very, I mean, they there's not a whole lot of relating to it anyways, but it just sounds all, it sounds very Noah-ish and bizarre.
I mean, I love the idea of Joel Edgerton butting heads with Christian Bale. It sounds like a cool story, but yeah, when I watched the trailer too, I was like,
yeah,
I don't really want to go see that.
I don't really care.
I was like, how many hours is this going to be? And automatically, I'm like, this is like 3 hours, isn't it? Come on, yeah. Tell me. I don't know the running time. But then I read Drew McQueenie's review, and I was like, ugh, doesn't sound good. He pretty much trashed it. Like, okay. What is Ridley Scott doing? And it's kind of like his Robin Hood movie. Did you guys ever see that?
No.
No.
With Russell Crowe?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God. I've put it out of my mind. He did make that.
So Ridley does make poor decisions at times.
Ridley, you know what the problem is with Ridley is he's still an amazing director. He just gets some of the worst writers.
Yeah, he doesn't write anything himself, does he?
No. I mean, that's why I loved The Counselor, because it was one of those films that, you know, it was pure Cormac McCarthy.
Isn't there a director's cut of that? Sorry to cut
you off. Oh, my God, is that... If I thought the theatrical version, like, made me feel dirty, the director's version is, like, that times five.
Wow.
The true cut of it, the cut that I think the studio was uncomfortable with releasing into the theaters, is the one to watch. But it's really something else. That's not a movie that I can recommend to anyone, but everyone should see it.
It's the kind of thing where one night I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to watch this and just be like, oh my God.
Yeah. And you're going to be horrified for days.
You know, I really wanted to see Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal and I never got to see it.
Yeah. I want to see that too. Nightcrawler. I want to see, Inherent Vice. The Paul Thomas Anderson film
right.
that he adapted from the Thomas Pynchon film novel. I've only listened to about half of it, but it's hilarious and it's dark and it's perfect. It's like tailor made for Paul Thomas Anderson.
Very cool. And did anybody ever see Boyhood?
No.
I saw it.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a feat. I've never, you know, it's one of those things you sit there and watch and you're just sort of agog at the fact that this thing took 12 years, that you're seeing these people grow up in front of your eyes. It feels real.
The award season is beginning to happen, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to see these movies, you know?
Well, you'll see them because you know what happens.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's like Christmas for film nerds because it's the most wonderful time of the year. Screeners, man. Screeners are awesome.
Oh, it's the most wonderful time.
Oh, and Birdman. I still haven't seen Birdman.
Oh, yeah, I know. Steven, you saw that. How was it?
It was great.
Michael Keaton going to win an Oscar?
He may. Yeah, I mean, it was disturbing in a sense.
Sure, because it's a person dealing with his own...
duality or...
I don't know if it's duality as much as just, you know, reaching that point in your life where you have, like, made your path. You've gone through life and you've made all these choices and you finally have come to the point in your life where you're at that crossroads where you can do something or do nothing and you have to reflect on everything that came before it in order to move forward.
Yeah, all the weird hallucinatory dream sequences, I guess.
Are they incredible visually?
Yeah, those are pretty fun to, you know, when he's hallucinating, I guess, if you want to say that, you know, he's drunk and hallucinating, being Birdman. And fighting demon, you know, the monsters in the street.
It kind of reminded me. I'm just talking about the trailer. I haven't seen the film, but remember in Brazil, he has these fantastic fantasies where he's right. A winged man and stuff.
I don't think it's like as fantastical as that,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I'm close to that.
When you guys watched Brazil, did you ever think he should do a superhero movie? Like back then?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to see that too. Boyhood, Birdman, and Space Ghost, and all those movies.
I want to see the Birdman film where he's an attorney at law.
Oh, I knew we had a drop of that.
Yes.
I knew it.
Now we need clips of, like, the Vulture and all his awful enemies that had the most bizarre voices.
Totally. Bill, is there anything else we could talk about that you can think of?
Other than Xbox finally outselling PlayStation 4.
Yeah, they got rid of the Kinect.
Yeah, it's cheaper. And
Stephen, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you pay for it? Was it a pretty good deal?
$329.
That's
nice.
With the Assassin's Creed package.
Wasn't it $499 when we got it, Bill?
Yeah.
It was $500 bucks.
$500.
The two Assassin's Creed games, and then I bought the
Sleeping
Dogs, which I haven't played yet.
It was $500 and it didn't come with a game, did it?
Yeah, it didn't.
Boy, did we get the shit into the deal.
I know. But that's what we get for being the early adopter. Remember that what was that video that was set to like a Schoolhouse Rock thing about not buying a console when it comes out? That's us. I mean, that was totally us.
What was funny was I bought Sunset Overdrive like a week before. That way I had to force myself to buy the Xbox because I really wanted to play that game.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get this one.
Oh, yeah, it's
Don't ever buy a console at launch. I'm being serious. Do not ever buy a console at launch.
Yeah.
So I've got Sleeping Dogs and, I don't know, Assassin's Creed.
I wanted to play Sleeping Dogs really bad, but you know what? I really want the Xbox version of GTA 5 because I got the Xbox One for Christmas last year, right?
Yeah.
And I was playing GTA 5, but I was like, screw this. I just unhooked it. And I'm like, I'm not going to play that at 360 anymore. And, you know, Titanfall was the first game we played, Bill. And I played the shit out of that. When I started seeing the first person, now you can play GTA 5 in first person and this really crispy graphics. I guess that's a description, but
crisp.
Crisp, delicious,
delicious bacony graphics.
Deep fried, crispy.
Golden brown graphics.
I love
golden brown and delicious graphics.
Oh, man. Those pixels covered in gravy.
White gravy.
Oh, yeah. But it looks gorgeous where now I want to play it. But then I start thinking, like, that takes a it's time sink, man, isn't it? Time
the Overdrive, I told you, last Saturday I got up at, like, I started playing about 9 in the morning. I was like, kept playing, and I was like, I'm kind of getting hungry. What time is it? Turn around and look, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I hadn't done anything.
You know what my favorite part of that game? Just I haven't played that much of it, but whenever you die, you come back in a funny animation.
Yeah.
And they did the Terminator where it's like,
the Terminator bubble.
That was hilarious. And the spaceship crashes into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, the spaceship hovers and drops you out of it.
Uh-huh.
And then you come up through a drill.
I didn't see that
like
one.
The one that drills through the ground, opens up, and the door opens up. And
yeah,
you come
the Ninja
out.
Turtles drill.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And the Bill and Ted phone booth.
Yeah, the Dracula one.
And Dracula.
I knew I loved the game when he said that line about Gymkhana. Like, I could be the star of Gymkhana. And I was like, dude, Gymkhana reference sold.
Yeah, there's so many great pop culture references in it. I need to get back to it.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I've gotten through, like I said, the LARPer, and I'm on to the next little group of people that I'm trying to do favors for.
And you said, Bill, in the Sasquatch and Friends, they play a song or something? Do they ever, the robots, do they ever play a song or anything?
You know what? They might. I haven't paid attention.
I didn't.
But I know I was watching them because they were, it's on a loop of different performances and they're hilarious.
Yeah, I wanted to see them actually sing a song or something.
Well, there's somebody who actually, I don't know if you want to be spoiled by it, but there is somebody, an old band plays in Maximum Overdrive, Sunset Overdrive. Maximum.
I want Maximum Overdrive game, but I also love, did you know that you could play as a girl and that your character is a girl with like the same attitude and everything? Mm-hmm. That's kind of funny. That's kind of cool too. And also you could turn off the profanity too, and it just beeps. And I think that's funny. Bleeps, I should say. Now, Bill, I know you're not feeling well. So, if you want to go, if I warn you out talking about so much Spider-Man and Sony and stuff, I understand.
No, I enjoy it. It's just my voice is, I can feel it going, and if I do any more, I'm not going to be able to talk. So
no,
I'm getting more stuffed up as the show goes on.
Yeah.
So yeah. I want to feel better, man. And it's,
I will. Thanks, guys.
We're going to do when everybody's ready, we're going to do a regular ETL show. But it's been fun. You know, I did the first two ETL dailies, just kind of feeling things out. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to Rick Lidster. He wants to do one with me. And I was
awesome.
How are we going to do that? And he goes, we'll do it around 2. It's 6 a.m. for me. I'll get up real early. I was like,
oh my God, that's amazing.
I was like, it's going to be a morning show for you. Dude, I could not do a 6 a.m. podcast. I don't expect him to have to do one.
He's hardcore.
I was like, we could do one like 4 my time or something. That way you've eaten breakfast. Yeah. But that's interesting. And also I want to have Ross on the show. And it's just, you know what the crazy thing is? The way movie news and shit comes out every single day, there's material to talk about. It's
absolutely
insane. But Bill, man, it's been good to catch up with you. You were like in California last week, I believe.
I feel so bad. I was going to meet up with Adam and Ross last weekend, and my girlfriend Natalie got sick, and that's why I'm sick now. Totally worth it though, by the way. I ended up kind of keeping an eye on her and making sure she was okay. And we didn't really have a whole lot of time. We were going to go to a concert on Saturday in San Francisco and meet up with Adam and Ross, but we couldn't do it. I told her, I was like, you're way too sick. We're not driving an hour and a half to San Francisco to see stupid concert.
Yeah, that's why you basically flew down there.
Yeah, I was going to go see the Coming Home concert for the Family Crest, which is this great orchestral pop band that I fell in love with last year because they released this awesome EP called The Headwinds. And that was the plan. And we just didn't, you know, the pieces didn't fall into place. So hopefully the next time I head out there, I'll be able to meet up with him. Natalie's actually coming here for Christmas. I pick her up the morning of the 26th. She actually flies Christmas Day out of Oakland airport.
Is it cheap on Christmas or super expensive on Christmas?
No, that's what's amazing. We have a friend who runs a mutual friend that runs a website or a Facebook group called Hacking the System. And she found this flight out on Christmas for $140 out here and then $170 back there. So wow. Total, it was only like $313 to have her come out for a week for Christmas
and New Year's.
Is this
the same person that hacked Sony, by the way?
Yes, it is, by the way.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Yes. Everyone needs to know this about Spider-Man. I'm hacking this.
You know what we didn't talk about? The whole hacking thing. How I love how North Korea keeps taking credit for it because of this movie, The Interview. And it's what they don't realize is they keep saying stupid shit, and it's the best possible promotion for The Interview.
Right.
It's like they should just shut up.
Leah Laporte was talking about they talk about hacking. but he was talking about, have you guys read some of how horrible their security was? He said there was a text file that said passwords, and it has passwords to all the different people in the company. It's like, how just like... Just what's the word?
Incompetent.
Incompetent is that. So you didn't have to be a good hacker. You just they got into one person's computer and found this list of passwords.
It wasn't even a hack. You know, they were saying it was an inside job. So obviously, this text file that circulated, somebody finally just went, you know what? Screw these people. And once you start reading some of those emails between like the producer Scott Rudin and the head of the studio Amy Pascal, you're like, good God, like these people are just complete and total assholes. Like they're it's amazing how, you know, how such incompetence. It's kind of case in point why Sony is such a shitty studio, that you kind of get a peek into the way they run things, and it's just very, I don't know, I'm not surprised at all.
They need to do that thing where they hire hackers to hacker-proof their system.
Well, they need to hire Robert Redford and Dan Aykroyd and Sidney Poitier and that, and who else? Oh, people, David Strathairn.
People that know about film or...
No,
people?
Sneakers.
Oh my God, I didn't see what you were doing. Damn it. That's right, Sneakers. Oh, Bill, by the way, you could buy a Vizio 70-inch for $1,200 right now.
Jesus, is it of decent quality?
It doesn't have 3D. That's the only bad thing.
Oh, no, I want 3D. I got to have that. I got to have that 3D.
Yeah, you have all the 3D titles and stuff.
I've been like, that's my thing. Like, I keep reading. My thing is best 4K set with 3D, like, or best 3D 4K set.
Even their 70-inch 4K Ultra Vizio for $3,000 doesn't have 3D. Why wouldn't they have 3D in that?
A lot of 4K sets are leaving 3D behind for some reason.
Bummer.
Yeah, I think 3D is going to... It's going to kind of fall away at home, except for the special stuff, and it's going to be kind of an event thing.
What a bummer, man.
It really is a bummer.
You know,
it didn't sell, the last they thought.
The film I watched was Live, Die, Repeat. I can't call it that. Edge of Tomorrow, and I watched it in 3D, and part of me was like, I should just take these glasses off and watch it regular. But I was like, no, I'm leaving them on. And I did. I left them on through the whole movie, Bill.
It has some really good 3D moments. I mean,
especially the ending sequence looked pretty badass in 3D. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
I was glad I did. But, you know, it's like if Heather, I don't think, has ever sat through a 3D film. She started one and going like, I'm going to go lay down. I'm like, oh, this isn't a good endorsement.
Yeah.
But some people, they don't want to wear the glasses, which is fine. Like you said, passive 3D would be awesome.
Yeah, I think what gives people headaches is that active shutter 3D. And, you know, with active shutter 3D, you're always going to have a little bit of that crosstalk where you have kind of that ghosting of the image.
Well, my main problem, the 3D looks great, is that the glasses are just uncomfortable. They're cumbersome.
Yeah.
They don't feel right on my head. They feel like they could fall off if I tilt my head forward. They're just not that great.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to let you go. And I want
all right,
you to feel
guys.
Better.
Thanks for doing this quick little thing. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it was good talking to you. And it wasn't right. Quick. We've been talking for over an hour and 23 minutes.
There we go. All right.
All right. You get some rest, little guy.
All right. Guy. Thank you.
Go get lay your head milk. Down.
Take care.
All right. Yep. Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's like, what movie is that? Oh my God, wait, I'm blanking. He goes, what you do? Run yourself a bath. Oh, it's Ferris Bueller, remember? He goes, put a hot towel around your head. Hot towel around my head? Yes. That's what I love. Oh, man. I don't know why I just thought of that, but God, I wish I would have said that to Bill now. I want you to go run yourself a bath. Put a hot towel around your head.
You'll feel better.
Why is that funny to me? I don't know. But I love that. So are you going to pick up Guardians of the Galaxy on
Blu-ray? I'll probably get it.
On the old Blu-rays there?
I'll probably get it there.
Awesome. It's going to be awesome. So I know you came all the way over here for to do a show. I didn't tell you what kind of show we were doing.
It's no big deal.
You know, I wasn't going to bother Bill at all, but he started talking to me on Facebook, and he was like, I thought we were going to do a show, but I thought it was Thursday. And I was like, well, I was going to do a weekend edition of ETL Daily. Do you want to be on it? He goes, sure, I'll call you. And I was like, Steven's on his way. So we just started talking. So that's the way it
is.
Well,
I'm off for the next 3 weeks.
Wow. Woo-hoo! That's a hell of a vacation.
Vacation.
So you're going to be video games, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was playing, Destiny.
Well, I've got one full week of vacation. You got Christmas and New Year's, like, are in the middle of the week. So really can't fly and do anything. So I use vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, whatever. But it's 3 weeks off. So it's nice.
Sounds awesome. Totally cool. So what do you say we wrap this up and play some video games?
Right on.
Awesome. All right, guys. We're going to put a hot towel around our head and we'll...
get in the tub.
It was good to catch up, Steven. And we'll be back with a regular ETL, hopefully next Friday. If not, I'm going to keep doing these ETL dailies. I'm going to do one with Ross, one with Rick, and one with Rick Ross, and one with Ross Rick. And I'm looking for
Smiley.
More Adams.
Some Adams. Yeah, we got two Adams. So.
I need some more Adams. Like, if your name's Adam, I need you on the show. But thank you guys so much for being on the show. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Woohoo! And we'll see you next time. Later, Steven.
Later, Jason.
Laters.
Take a hot bath and then wrap a hot towel around your head.
Wrap a hot towel around my head?
Now this is podcasting.